This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvinia Viraj.
As usual, we're going to be with you till about 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to get in touch with today's show, you can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We've got a poll for you today. It's all exciting stuff. We're asking you a little bit later on in the show. We'll be discussing about Netflix and something that they are bringing to the table. Would you pay extra to play video games on Netflix? That's going to be the topic of discussion a little bit later on. Why or why not? The numbers are pretty strong right now. We'll give you an update shortly anyway. But that's what we've got coming up later on in the show. But we'll be kicking off the show with a story about...
We're going to talk about how pre-pandemic data is pretty much invalid now.
When it comes to like market research and
things, branding, right? And stuff.
Branding. Yeah. Chris is then talking to us... I'll be talking to you about how the only way out is to dine in. And then Chris, of course, will be bringing that story to the table about Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That's all coming up throughout the show. So, Arvin, why don't you... talk to us about data and why it's important and how it's changed.
Yeah, so we got this interesting email last week about the use of data during and post-pandemic and how it compares to data before the pandemic. So this email came with a few interesting insights from Vast AI, which is a validation as a service company that deals with market research and industry insights, and how gathering and analyzing data during the pandemic is a little more tricky and a bit more complicated and complex. So I'll highlight the most interesting parts of the email, and then we'll get in touch with Julie Ng, the CEO of Vast AI, to expand on those insights. So it says that it starts by saying that companies have always relied on market research to understand the audience. Now, consumer sentiment has changed. The pandemic has seen a drastic shift in habits, from people taking less showers to supporting local businesses and shopping sustainably.
What?
Yeah. Less showers?
No.
Less showers.
Quite the opposite,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't know who these people are.
Filthy beasts.
But there are surveys and there are reports and stuff. So some countries have started to open up, it says, thanks to the rollout of the vaccines, while others continue to reinstate social distancing from time to time, depending on their cases. Then there's Singapore, who have taken an endemic approach and have started living alongside the virus, and they are taking more proactive approaches to sort of go about life, but also acknowledge that COVID-19 will be a part of their life for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. Likely sat on your sofa with you whilst you're sat streaming Netflix.
Mm-hmm, So this has created a whole new generation of consumers with newfound habits, concerns, and needs that have to be addressed. What this basically means is that all past data, whether it comes from branding or market analysis, research, stuff like that, is rendered useless due to the drastic shift in consumer behaviors and what data-driven marketers can do to salvage this. Consumer behavior cannot be simply classified as pre-pandemic and post-pandemic because the reality of the situation is that consumers are always in a state of flux and preferences will continue to shift even in the future and as things change along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Vast AI will also release a report called The Next Normal this month, which is a study of consumers across 5 countries in Southeast Asia, their physical and mental health, food habits, and how they are spending their free time, to see what has changed and what has stayed the same in both times.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually backed up by a report by Gartner that came out in June 2020, so like a whole year ago. It said machine learning models built for doing business prior to the pandemic will no longer be valid as economies emerge from lockdowns, presenting companies with new challenges in machine learning and enterprise data management. The group also said that the extreme disruption in the aftermath of COVID-19 has invalidated many models that are based on historical data. So, for example, organizations using machine learning for product recommendation engines or next best offer will have to rethink the approach, and they need to broaden their machine learning techniques as there is not enough post-COVID-19 data to retrain supervised machine learning models. Which I honestly found interesting because before the pandemic, we used to talk about data as the sort of like the crystal ball.
Right.
You can use it to predict what the next 5 years is going to be or what the next 10 years is going to be or 15 years, and then you base your products and your branding on that. This basically says that you can't base it on previous data anymore.
Yeah, you've got to start from scratch.
You have to start from scratch. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Interesting to look at the way in which they're going to have to change machine learning models as well. Mm-hmm. Really interesting stuff, that.
Yeah.
You know, because machine learning, it is what it says on the tin, right? It starts learning from the data that you input into it. So you would assume mm-hmm. that if the data is changing, that's being input, the machine and the learning of it, the algorithm mm-hmm. would change by itself.
Yeah. But also then VAS AI's insight is also very interesting, because they say that you can learn the data, but the consumer is in a state of flux. Mm. So that's something that you cannot actually predict.
You can't really adjust for like flexibility when it comes to the consumer response, I guess.
And especially now because of the pandemic, because it's such a drastic shift, it's difficult to have predicted, and it's difficult to predict what it will be moving forward as well.
I'm still curious to know who's taking less showers. That's my takeaway from this, is like, who's doing that?
Let's see if we can find out during the break.
All right, let's have a look at that. Yeah. We'll take a short break then. Aretha Franklin up next with Chain of Fools. When we do come back, like Arv mentioned, he did manage to get hold of Julie Ung, the CEO of VAS AI. Mm-hmm. She's going to give us her opinions on some of these questions. I'm not so sure if she can answer that question about showering or not, though, but, we'll leave that as it is. Music, Aretha Franklin here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bold, fearless Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
If you're only just joining us, what are we talking about today, Arvind?
We are talking about pre-pandemic data and how it's pretty much invalid now.
Okay, we did manage to get hold of somebody to talk to about this. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you want a story, you go right to the horse's mouth, right? Mm-hmm. We managed to get hold of Julie Ung, the CEO of VAS AI. Just before we do that, though, just a quick reminder, if you want to get in touch with our poll, our story, and take part in the poll, we're asking you, would you pay extra to play video games on Netflix? Why or why not? We're going to get to that story a little bit later on. But first up, as Arv mentioned, it's Julie Ung.
Yeah, so Julie's on the line with us now. We just wanted to expand on some of those insights that she sent us via the email. Julie, so you said that all past data has been rendered useless, yet it seems like many businesses are using old data to make new decisions. How does this impact them in a way?
My definition of past data are those data that exist before the pandemic. Those data are now legacy data, and we see that it's getting irrelevant more and more as we go. So what COVID-19 brings to us is that it brings a paradigm shift. Consumer all over the world is forced to change their pattern. So now the million-dollar question is, what kind of old pattern will still be relevant? And what is a new pattern that will sustain? To business, whether or not it's large or small, this new norm is challenging because the pandemic is still taking place and far from stabilizing. It is hard to consolidate and analyze so many new data, let alone determine which data is relevant to the business. Yet, this is a huge opportunity for those who are capable to analyze the relevant data and using it to prepare for their business ahead. Take an example. We helped one of our F&B clients to discover that due to COVID, there is an influx of 16% of new household cooks in the market. So this is an entirely new and significant segment in this market that opened up new growth opportunity for our client to introduce products specifically for this new household cook segment. So by capitalizing on the updated data, what we see is business would definitely be able to bring positive impact for the decision making.
You also said consumer behavior cannot be split into pre and post pandemic. How is data gathered then? And what should companies base their data on?
So the pandemic is like a watershed. But we don't see that, like, not every consumer behavior has changed completely between the pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. It is important to have a multi-dimensional perspective when we're analyzing data. So in this case, jumping into a conclusion based on a single data point, for example, in this case, a binary between pre and post-pandemic, to me, is always risky. So let me share a data point. There's a research back in March 2019, which we considered as pre-pandemic, suggested that 87% of us eat out on a weekly basis. Okay, now let's fast forward to last year, July, where we found that only 12% of Malaysians eating out, because that was during the height of uncovering COVID, and it was also the early ending of MCO 1.0. Now, let's also look at what happened 6 months later, after that, which is in last year, December. Data shows that 39% of us have eaten out. Imagine for an F&B or an FMCG company. The company would make a vastly different decisions if they have all three data points versus just a pre and post-pandemic data point. Company A, who perhaps have seen the 12% eating out data point, would likely to have a much more pessimistic outlook. While the company B, who have seen the 39% eating out data point, would have a much more optimistic view and came to a different solutions for their business. So our key here is not to focus on just the one dimension of whether it's a pre and post pandemic, but looking deeper into those data points. So when we look deeper, we will then see that there are actually other dimensions at play, including government restrictions during the different phase of post pandemic. It could be consumer sentiment of whether or not, you know, now is a safe time to go out. And also there is also consumer psychology changes after being indoor for how long of a period of time. Because of this constant influx of change from government restrictions to consumer sentiment, it becomes very essential for us as a business to have continuous data streaming so that we have a multi-dimensional perspective instead of just a snapshot of the event, which may lead to a wrong conclusion.
Right. Now, Julie, there's a lot of debate on the current state of EMCOs, phases in the National Recovery Plan, like, for example, should we allow businesses to operate? I mean, what kind of tools can the government tap into to help predict the outcome of these decisions?
Well, this is a hot and controversial topic. First of all, we need to kudos to like the frontliners from medical and also police force, in which they are the solid foundation, no matter we are in EMC or different stages of NRP. So if the question is directed towards can our national recovery plan have room to be improved? And of course, you know, the answer is always a yes. Artificial intelligence and big data could be very useful tools to accelerate the reopenings of economies. I'll give you a rudimentary examples. For example, factories, which covers such a wide umbrella. On another hand, we actually need to analyze more data points on factories. For example, the size of the factory, the man count, perhaps even include the dormitory density, the working environment, and the physical touch intimacy. So when we use big data and AI to analyze all these different data points and cross-reference with infection data, we can then map out hot zones, whereby where should we deploy our personnel to contain the virus spread? Where should we offer more vaccination instead of shutting down all factories across the nations or states? So this is an example of how using AI and big data can empower our decision-making of opening up the economies to be more regional, more targeted, and customized. To simplify, allow me to use an analogy. So that is, view the whole country like a human body and COVID-19 virus as a cancer cells. To deal with the cancer, traditionally speaking, we will use chemotherapy that kills off the body cells, whether it's good or bad, which is in a way similar to lockdown imposed by most countries, just shut down the entire city or the entire industry. With tools like big data and AI, it could help the government to come up with more targeted treatment, which is similar to cancer's targeted therapy that will only get rid of bad cells. We believe that this itself, in which the damage can then be minimized and the recovery of our economies can then be vastly shortened.
Mm-hmm. So, Julie, you provide solutions based on data at VAS. What is the take-up rate in the local market for solutions like that? Are companies even privy to that kind of decision-making?
So if you look at the number from the year 2019, the spend of market research in Malaysia is approximately $160 million. So here in VAS, we provide tools and services to help businesses to be more data-driven. And in our sector, we do see that the take-up rate has an upward trend. What we believe as the main driving force behind the upward trend is the value of our types of solutions is higher and more relevant when there is increasing uncertainty among consumer behavior. So during this pandemic, we do see a significant increase in inquiries from different spectrums of businesses, where we saw that the more dynamic the market is, the more relevant our solutions are. So definitely coupling with this is there is also the trend of companies, big and small, being more data-driven. And we see that it will keep on growing as our entire markets are becoming more competitive when we move our competition landscape to currently mainly online and within the screens of everyone's devices. So what we also see is that the marketers nowadays have to literally work quite hard just to retain their current market share positions because it's so crowded. Give an example. So let's say a company is using promotion as a mechanism, as a core mechanism, actually, to deliver more growth to their company. It is getting more limited because of the fact that we are running about as many promotions as the retail system can handle. And on the other hand, we also see that it's not sustainable to always just educate our customers to buy when we are only doing discounted pricing. So when more and more companies understand that promotion shouldn't be their primary toolbox to drive further growth, more of them are being creative and tapping into other means. For example, building a much more engaged brand, launching a new product concept that is more fitting to the current consumer needs. And to do all that, it requires more consumer data because all of these are new ideas, new solutions. So in a way, we do strongly believe that consumer data is a cost-effective and relevant solutions to help business to shed light on growth opportunity. And it is in our hope to empower more businesses with data as they face the dynamic market.
Julie, some countries like Singapore have labelled the virus as endemic and are starting to live alongside it. What kind of data can countries like Singapore provide that other countries and businesses could tap into, I guess?
Countries like Singapore and UK are taking a courageous step in planning the future of their country with COVID as an endemic. In terms of data, we have heard that Singapore government won't be announcing some data that we have monitored like almost daily nowadays. For example, the daily infectious data, the daily infectious count. So the rationale is that they are monitoring COVID-19 virus similar to how they are monitoring normal flu. So for example, when it comes to flu, the daily infections count is not that relevant. What is relevant is whether or not the virus is getting more harmful. Is it more easier to spread? Is it going to overwhelm our medical system? So for the rest of the world, the data from countries like Singapore and UK are important for us to plan the reopening of our economies. So again, we need multi-dimensional of relevant data. For example, like R0, that measures if the virus spread is slowing down or speeding up. We also need data like which variant of COVID that people are catching. And is the patients that catch COVID fully vaccinated? Are they partially vaccinated or not vaccinated? And what type of vaccine did they use? And what's the ICU count that is required? And the take-up rate as a ratio, and also what kind of activities have these patients has been engaging that resulted in the spread. So these findings can vary because each country is unique on its own. But at the same time, all the data of such can help countries like Malaysia to better plan our future by really understanding how herd immunity really works and what kind of business activity or environment required extra monitoring. For example, the worker dormitory in Singapore and the soccer gathering in Europe. So in this case, it's not about the more data that's the better, but we do need the data that matters.
Yeah, so that was Julie Ng, CEO of VAS AI. A lot of interesting insights there, especially expanding on the stuff that you sent through the email.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was all about data and how now it's apparently irrelevant. We kind of got to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a bad way to start a new year.
Or use the bits and pieces that are working from the past.
Yeah. Some bits and pieces from the past.
Some.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, ladies and gents. When we come back, we'll have an update from Bursa at Break, courtesy of course. And then moving on to story number two about how the only way out is to dine in, with up to 60% of food and beverage operators in the country could be forced to shut permanently within the next 2 months, should the dine-in ban continue. This is according to some F&B associations. That'll be coming up in a few minutes. We've got some music to take us into the break. We've got Haim with Want You Back here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.